All I got is piss warm chango.
That's my brand. This is damn good. I'd say this is the best beer I've ever had. Actually.
You need anything over there?
I'm just glad to be alive right now. I was up a few towns away. You know Saragossa? I was visiting a bar there, not unlike this one. They serve beer, not quite as good as this, but close. And I saw something you wouldn't believe. Sitting there, see? Small table all by myself. Now this bar is full of real lowlives. I mean, not like this place here. No, I mean bad. Like they were up to no good. Know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm all by myself. I like it that way. Meanwhile, things are going on. Under the table kinds of things. Not too obvious, but not too secret either. So, I'm sitting there, and in walks the biggest Mexican I have ever seen. Big as shit. Just walks right in like he owns a place. Now, nobody knew quite what to make of him, or quite what to think. There he was, and in he walked. It was dark, too. I don't mean dark-skinned. Now, this was different. It was as if he was always walking in a shadow. I mean, every step he took towards the light, just when you thought his face was about to be revealed, it wasn't. It was as if the lights dimmed just for him.
Este huele a cagada.
So, this guy takes a seat at the bar, asks the bartender for a soda pop, sits back, says nothing.
You're a soda pop.
Now, I wasn't interested in his drink. No, I was more interested in what he was carrying when he walked in. Some sort of a suitcase, kind of heavy. And he sat that thing on a stool beside him as if it were his girl.
Huevón.
Then, all of a sudden, the bastard spoke. He started talking low and whispered with the bartender. And you know he was talking business, because whatever he said upset the bartender. Especially when he mentioned, he said something like, bitch, or Bucho. That's what it was. Bucho. Well, whatever he said, pissed off the bartender plenty. Oh, and some of those unsavory characters I was telling you about, not class acts like these boys here, but real scum, they got pissed too. Started pulling guns and knives and what have you, starting some shit. Now, this stranger, he bolts out of the bar stool like you wouldn't believe. He grabs his case and he dives right in the middle of the room with it. Just dives right in. Now, I don't know what he does on that floor, but he's up in two shakes, his suitcase is wide open, and he's pulled God knows what out of it, but it's the biggest hand cannon I've ever fucking seen.
Stood there while this whole thing was going down, you didn't run for cover or join in?
I was frozen stiff. All I could do was watch this thing tear the place apart. I mean, it was amazing. Cutthroat scumbags were coming out of the woodwork and dying much-deserved deaths. Now, don't get me wrong. This was no class act group of guys like you got in here. Not at all. These guys were world-class turds. And I'm sorry, but they got what they deserved. It was judgment night in that place. So he grabs one of these guys, the only guy that's still breathing, and he starts getting information out of him. And I just knew, by the whispering and all, that this guy was giving up all the goods, spilling his guts, confessing the world. He told that stranger everything.
Everything?
Can I get a cleaner mug? This one's dirty.
Fuck you, man. It's the cleanest one I got.
So anyway, without warning, without any hint or preview, a stranger whips around and he sees me.
You saw his face?
His face? No. His eyes.
And he didn't do anything to you?
Not really, because he turned his attention back to the guy on the floor. The stranger shot him. Walked over to the bartender, paid, and left.
So the bartender lived. The bartender never gets killed.
But as the stranger neared the door, no, man. The bartender got it worse than anybody.
This one's on the house. If you can remember his face.
Thanks. But no thanks. I'm clearing out of here, boys. Because I think he's headed this way. Well, thank you, boys. Y'all take care.
Let's go all the way. go all the way. Let's go all the way. Yeah. Na 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 na
chill, right on my side as my ego becomes a funky child with some wood on my tongue. Feel like intake of breath and my mouth gets loose. So while I get up a spit, I dream of juice. Have you ever made out in dark hallways? This place, I guess I made your day. I say, you played a track from your record collection. It's your mix, congratulations.
Chain a lot of names, some. Know that we have always been down, down. If I ever get it, thank you, you.
Some people try to pick up girls and get called assholes. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. He could walk down your street and girls could not resist the stare. And so Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Drive down this street in his Eldorado. bottle. You could walk down your street and girls could not resist the stare. Pablo Picasso never got called an asshole, not like you. I never got called an asshole, not in New York.
I walk this weekend recruit into our battle and prepare like all those battles I have had before. Walking to make that sacrifice, giving it all for that one last chance. I walk as the World Wrestling Federation champion. As I leave you lay, I leave it to shame. The ultimate power, the ultimate warrior, the ultimate World Wrestling Federation.
We'll have highlights of this weekend's action next week, right here on the Superstars of Wrestling.
Just one. tripping and my soul's worn thin. Time to catch a ride and leaves today. Her name is what it means. Too much walking, shoes worn thin. Time to take
this an indictment of our entire American society? Well, you can do what you want to us, but we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America. Gentlemen!
You're not walking out on this one, mister.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kurt Vonnegut. I'm looking for Thornton Mellon.
What do you think? Someone else wrote this?
Look, all I know is that you didn't, and that's what disappoints me. Tell you something else, whoever did write it doesn't know the first thing about Kurt Vonnegut.
And another thing, Vonnegut, I'm going to stop payment on a check. What's that? Fuck me. Hey, Kurt, do you read lips? Fuck you! Next time, I'll call Robert Ludlum.
This is Vonda Braithwaite, the plaintiff. She sold her immortal soul to the devil in return for success in her hairdressing business, but now claims that the devil cheated her. She seeks nullification of the contract plus damages. This is Mephistopheles, the devil. He claims that he did keep his part of the bargain and that the plaintiff is simply trying to welch out of her legal commitment. He seeks the soul plus court costs. The situation you are about to see is real. The people are not actors. They are actual litigants in cases filed in a California municipal court. They have agreed to waive their right to trial and to have their disputes settled in our forum, the People's Court. Hello, I'm Doug Llewellyn. In a moment, the case of the petition and the beast. Judge Wapner will enter the courtroom shortly to hear testimony from the two parties. Oh, here he is now.
Please be seated. I've read your statements. Now, Miss Braithwaite, you are the owner of a business establishment known as the Hare Affair.
Yes, Your Honor.
And several months ago, the defendant appeared to you in the form of some kind of large dog?
A Rottweiler, Your Honor.
And you agreed to sell your mortal soul in return for success in the hairstyling field. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Mephistopheles.
Yes, Your Honor.
I have here a copy of the contract. I see that it is written in blood. The language in this document is fairly vague. Now, how exactly did you help Miss Braithwaite's business?
Well, Your Honor, in addition to giving her day-to-day advice on the running of a small business, tax planning and so on, I advanced her nearly $2,700 for new equipment. Now, I have here three canceled checks. One is for $1,260. One is for $940.
May I see those, please?
Yes.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Yes. Oh, this is a receipt from the Anita Barber Supply Company for three bonnet-style hair dryers. As you can see, they've been paid in full.
Yes, thank you. I'll study this. Miss Braithwaite, is this your signature on this check?
Yes, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I'd like to say something if I could, please.
Excuse me, are you a relative of the plaintiff?
I am her mother.
And what is your occupation?
I am a barfly.
And by that, you mean you loiter in bars waiting for men you don't know to buy you drinks?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Proceed.
Well, I don't think that Vonda here knew what she was getting into when she signed this contract now. She is only 18 years old, Your Honor. 18 going on 8. It's true. Now, I'm telling you, she doesn't understand words like immortality or a soul or eternity or any of that business.
I do, too.
Vonda, I'm going to smack you, honey. You've got to hurry.
All right. Thank you. I will take that under advisement. Now, Miss Braithwaite, in your deposition, you state that shortly after you started your business and went into agreement with the devil, your business actually began to lose money. Now, is this your idea of success in business, Mr. Mephistopheles?
Well, Your Honor, that was kind of a trick. You see, as I promised Miss Braithwaite, I made her a great hairdresser. Her coifs were magical. Once you got one, you never needed another.
So there was no repeat business.
Exactly. But it's more or less customary for me to cheat mortals in this way, by observing only the letter of the agreement. For example, I'll give someone eternal youth, then have him sentenced to life imprisonment. That sort of thing. It's standard. I'm the devil.
Now, according to Miss Braithwaite's deposition, shortly after she filed her lawsuit, you began to harass her. Is that correct?
Your Honor, that is totally ridiculous.
What about coming to my house in the form of a black cat?
That was probably a black cat.
Well, what about throwing all that garbage in our yard? What was that?
I did not put garbage in your yard.
Well, who hit my car in the parking lot? It didn't dent by itself.
Now, you listen to me. I'm Mephistopheles, Prince of Darkness. When I start harassing you, you'll know it.
I tell you, if I find any more garbage in my yard,
oh,
I'm going
to... Shut up.
And my mother knows she means it.
Shut up.
Mr. Mephistopheles, I'm warning you. You may hold dominion over the nether regions, but I run this court. Is that clear?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, if the parties have calmed down, I'm ready with my decision. It's clear that there was a contract between the two parties. What is not clear is the extent to which the defendant kept his part of the bargain.
Your Honor, it's clear that I did.
Mr. Mephistopheles, please. But in view of the plaintiff's age and the fact that she obviously did not understand what she was getting into, this court must find for Miss Braithwaite. The defendant is hereby ordered to pay damages and also to maintain a minimum distance of 500 yards between himself and the plaintiff at all times.
So Judge Wapner fines for the plaintiff, Vonda Braithwaite. Let's get a reaction. Vonda, What have you learned from all this? Will you ever sell your soul to the devil again?
Well, only for something really good like eternal youth or a really nice car.
And Mrs. Braithwaite, if I may say so, you look awfully young to be Vonda's mother.
Well, I'm 33, but that's very nice of you to say.
Let's get a reaction from the devil. Mephistopheles. Any comments? Mephistopheles?
Leave me alone. I'm sorry. It's not you, Doug. Just that I'm out $2,700 that I'll probably never see again, plus I have to pay damages. What am I going to do with 3 bonnet hair dryers? Mark my word, the wench will be mine.
Next time you'll get it in writing?
I had it in writing. You, watching this at home, worship me. I command you, become my willing thralls and live eternally.
That's all for this edition of the People's Court.
Oh, the sweet, sublime feeling of complete obedience to your evil master. Come, serve me, the Prince of Darkness. I command it. Serve me.
Let's go.
Wait one second. Obey me. Obey me.
Remember. Remember, if someone cheats you on a business dealing and you feel you're being intimidated, don't take the law into your own hands. You take them to court. We'll be right back.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando? I remember long ago another starry night like this. In the firelight, Fernando, you were humming to yourself and softly strumming your guitar. I could hear the distant drums and sounds of bugle calls were coming from afar. They were close now, Fernando. Last eternally. I was so afraid, Fernando. We were young and full of life, and none of us prepared to die. And I'm not ashamed to say the roar of guns and cannons almost made me cry.
For you and me, for liberty, Fernando.
I was not myself last night, couldn't set things right with apologies or flowers. Out of place is a crying clown who could only frown, and the play went on for hours. And as I lived my role, I swore I'd sell my soul for one love who would stand by me and give me back the gift of laughter. Yeah, one love who would stand by me. And after making love, we dream a bit of style. We dream a bunch of friends, dream each other smile, and dream it never ends. I was not myself last night, in the morning light I could see the change was showing. Like a child who was always poor, reaching out for more, I could feel the hunger growing. And as I lost control, I swore I'd sell my soul for one love who would sing my song, fill this emptiness inside me. One love who would sing my song, lay beside me while we dream a bit of style, dream a bunch of friends, dream each other's smile, and dream it never ends. My dreams are lost and I can't sleep, and sleep alone could ease my mind. All my tears have dried and I can't weep. Old emotions, may they rest and dream, dream a bunch of friends. Rest in peace and dream, dream it never ends.